Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we are joined in this first half hour by Kevin Kamenetz, who is a candidate for Baltimore County Executive. He's been on the county council for 15 years. Do I have that right, Kevin?
16 years.
Wow, long time. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We did invite Joe Bartenfelder, and I had an email exchange with his campaign, as our producers did, and I wanted him to come in here as well, and even was willing to figure out another time for him to join us. But they said they're campaigning from 6 a.m. to midnight and couldn't make the time. But we're glad to have Kevin Kamenetz in the studio. And folks, this is your future county executive, maybe, and you need to join this conversation at 410-319-8888, whether you live here in the city and can't vote for him or not, or the other guy, or whether you live in Randallstown, Pikesville, Cockeysville, White Marsh, Hereford, wherever you're listening to this show from. 410-319-8888 is the number here. So this campaign, it's between the two of you, it's sometimes hard to kind of pin down the differences between Kevin Kamenetz and Joe Bartenfelder and why one man would be better than the other at the helm of the county. I'm just curious about your thoughts on that. I mean, you've had some differences in your votes. We can talk about the one glaring vote we had a difference, which had to do with the pensions for county council members. We'll talk about in a minute. But other than that, it's not a contentious council. There's not a lot of back and forth and huge ideological differences. So talk a bit about what you see as the major differences between the two of you.
Well, Mark, thank you for having me on the program. I've had an opportunity to serve on the council now for 16 years, as has Joe. And in Baltimore County, there are only 7 council members, 1 to a district, although we're 15% larger than Baltimore City in population. We still maintain just a 7-member council. Each district is approximately 100,000 people, a little more than that now. It's a very veteran council. Most of us have been together for the full 16 years, and that gives us the opportunity to learn from experiences that we've gone through in the past, but also a better sense of learning to respect each other's opinions, listening and respecting the other voice, not necessarily always agreeing, but understanding that we're not into partisan politics. I like to joke that we fill all potholes regardless of political affiliation. So, but that kind of attitude has helped the county remain stable. We avoid partisan bickering. We avoid public squabbles, and try and do the job we're supposed to be doing.
So, I mean, I guess part of the spirit of that question, though, was is this job for county executive of Baltimore County just a nuts and bolts job? Is it a job just to play with the numbers and keep things flowing straight, as Jim Smith has done? Or is there something more to it for you?
Well, obviously, it's a big county. We're over 800,000 people. We're larger than a congressional district. We're larger in population than 4 states. It's a $2.5 billion corporation with 8,500 general government employees, 10,000 teachers. The issue for the voter is who do they believe should be the CEO of the equivalent of a Fortune 500 company. My background is training as an attorney. I'm a lawyer, member of the bar. I'm a former prosecutor, and I've worked hard to do a good job on the council. I think the difference that I would present is that I have the experience, the knowledge, but also the vision to move us forward. And I think Baltimore County needs to move forward. And in many ways, I kind of think about where are we in comparison to Baltimore City, say, 1965? I think that the demographics were somewhat similar then in the city. And what changes did the city do or did not do back then that we should be considering, or can we learn from those lessons as well? But it really is a great opportunity now that the economy is in bad shape, and I know people are upset about Washington, they're upset about Annapolis, but we actually have a pretty good fiscal picture in Baltimore County to paint. We are fiscally well managed, and it's a conservative county, and that's what the voters have demanded. We've been able to avoid any furloughs or layoffs of employees, any curtailment of services, and of course we haven't increased the tax rate. So the goal of the next county executive will be to continue to manage this county well, but also use some leadership, some opportunities to move the county forward in ways we haven't done. when times are good, we tend to keep doing everything the same way. Now that times are difficult, I kind of view that as a great challenge, as an opportunity to rethink the way we do things, and can we do more with less?
Some parts of the county, I've heard in this show many times, feel neglected, I would say. Whether it's Essex, let's take two examples that we hear a lot. Essex, on the one hand, in Dundalk area, and Randallstown, who feel some ways as kind of stepchildren in the in this larger county scene. Now, Randallstown's part of your the district you represent, correct?
For 8 years, I represented Pikesville, Liberty Road, and Woodlawn. After the 2000 census, I wanted to create a majority-minority district to better represent the demographics of the county, and my plan was approved, and I shifted over, and now I represent from Reisterstown to Charles Street. The county is unique in the sense that it's a horseshoe shape.
Right.
And unlike any other county in this state, there is a distance between communities, a geographical distance that tends to suggest that, you know, not all resources meet all parts of the county. And each community is very – we have no incorporated municipalities in Baltimore County. We're the only county in the state that doesn't have a city, so to speak. And but each of our little towns are cities. So when you're from Catonsville, you're from Essex, you're from Dundalk, you view that as a town, as a small city. You have tremendous loyalty to your city in that regard, and you tend to feel like every other community or city is unlike yours. What I have found is that the people really have similar concerns no matter where I go in the county, but don't believe that their views are the same as everyone else's.
So what should change in your county? What should change in Baltimore County? What are the things that if you're elected the next 4 years, the next 8 years, what's your vision of where you want to take the county? It's not going to be in the same place as it is today.
Well, in many ways, I'm jealous of Howard County because they are now the new aggressive idea county, and Ken Ullman's done a great job there, of course.
Yes.
But that used to be Baltimore County. Baltimore County, when I was growing up, used to be the county where you had the finest school reputation and fresh, vibrant ideas and great opportunities to move forward. And I want to bring us back to those days. I want us to continue to be the leaders in recycling that we are today, but I want to take additional initiatives that protect our environment. Two-thirds of our county is rural in nature. We have some of the most conservative zoning in the country. 80% of our population live on 30% of the land. And we also have 173 miles of shoreline. So it's just tremendous environmental opportunities to promote and protect. And I think that the county executive should be the leader in that regard.
So how do you begin to protect that? I mean, when you look at it, when you look at neighborhoods, we did a show recently with folks from Dundalk and Sparrows Point. And the environmental degradation of some of those neighborhoods.
The Back River and so
Turner
forth,
Station.
Okay.
So how do you address that? I mean, it seems as if the corporations that have caused that degradation are like walking away from it. Is it your role with the AG's office to go after them and ensure that they clean up the mess they've made? And I mean, nobody no one has yet done a environmental study on the people who live in Turner Station to see why they have such a high cancer rate. It is related to what's been left behind. I mean, you're county executive. How do you address that? How will you address that?
Turner Station is a historically black community, African-American community that unfortunately and probably rightfully so has a feeling that they were the dumping ground of the county for many years. And the county has spent a lot of time kind of trying to make nice to what is the Bethlehem Steel owners, the succession of owners, and we haven't been aggressive in terms of, at least in my opinion, of demanding cleanup and pursuing that because we don't want to chase away the industry. But I think we do have an obligation to be a little more overt in our efforts for environmental protection. I did meet with people from Turner Station last week, and they brought up this very issue about our health screening, and it struck me. I mean, it means something to me to be able to help the community. And what I really saw, by the way, was not a smokestacks or a polluted industry there, but I saw magnificent water views, and I saw a strong, venerable community that wants to be there.
So what do you? I'm going to open the phones here in 1 second. 410-319-8888. David in Randallstown, the first caller up. But what will you do for those folks in places like Turner Station? I mean, how do you answer their question? Does it become a project of the Baltimore County Public Health Department and Hopkins School of Public Health or Maryland? I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I think it's a good idea to start working with the State Department of Environment and the federal government and get a sense from them as to what initiatives they're willing to pursue more aggressively.
Let me open the phones here. 410-319-8888. David in Randallstown, you're on the air.
Thank you, Mark, for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I want to address what Mr. Kamenetz said about maybe Randallstown not, or some communities in Baltimore County not being Steph children. I'm not a native Baltimore Countyan, but I've lived there since 96. And in my opinion, Randallstown has been underserved and is somewhat of a stepchild in the county. And I would like to know specifically from his point of view what he intends to do. Some examples, you look at the Whitewash area, you look at the Orange Mills area, you look at the Pikesville area, they have businesses, they have restaurants. Randallstown area has none of that. Randallstown has one of the highest per capita incomes in an African American community for the whole county.
Well, David, thanks for the question. It's absolutely accurate that Liberty Road residents have a higher economic and educational demographic than the county average as a whole, and yet the residents are forced to go outside of the community if they want to see quality stores and restaurants, going to Hunt Valley or Towson or other places.
Right.
And there is a underlying of resentment out there as to why this is taking place. People want to spend their money at home in the neighborhood, and I'm committed to see that happen. I have two goals that I want to pursue for Liberty Road. One is to, as far as commercial revitalization, I'd like to use the County Revenue Authority as a vehicle to assemble land primarily at the location near Liberty and Old Court to be an entranceway for Northwest Hospital, which is the major employer in the area. And if we can assemble land and we can do a request for a proposal, we can use tax increment financing and other tax incentives, we can attract some quality developers to come there and bring some stores and restaurants that could also have an employment feed off the employment base. And I think the county needs to be aggressive in that regard, and that's what I want to do. And I think once we start one project like that, that will spur additional activity as opposed to trying to spread ourselves too thin. The other part that I want to focus on for Liberty Road residents is improving the reputation of the school system. 50% of Baltimore County high schools were named by Newsweek magazine as the top 6% performing schools in the country. And we have the highest graduation rate for African-American males in Baltimore County schools for school systems our size, record numbers of students taking advanced placement classes, but yet none of those top performing schools are in the Liberty Road area. And I want to ensure that we're bringing proper resources to those schools so that those children have that same opportunity to succeed. So hopefully with the commercial and the school effort, we're going to turn things around a little.
Thanks for that call, David. 410-319-8888. Kathy in Turner Station, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had just a quick comment and maybe a question. Mm-hmm. I'm a new resident to Turner Station. I'm sure back in its glory days, it was quite a nice place. But unfortunately, I believe that the landlord has sort of turned his back on the property because it is in such needed repair. And I want to know what you can do in order to help the people here in this community to bring their living standards up, because the buildings are just in shambles. I mean, things are falling off. Roofs have holes in them. Ceilings are falling in. Last year, when during the rainy season, several people, because of lack of repair, their ceilings fell in. And when management was contacted, they told them, oh, well, so sorry. There's nothing we can do for you. They wouldn't even put them up in a hotel until the building was rehabbed. They just told them, that's your problem. We'll get to you when we get to you. I mean, so what can you do in order to help the people here in Turner Station? Because I'm not an original resident. I'm from a different county, but I've moved here because of marriage. But I think it could be a great place, but I think a little bit more funds or attention needs to be directed in this area.
Kathy, thanks. This is really a difference between my candidacy and that of my opponent, because we had a rental registration law that we enacted countywide that is to specifically respond to the issues that you're complaining of, and it passed by 4-3 vote. I voted for it. Joe voted against it, and the bill did pass. And what it requires is to get these landlords to be subject to regular inspections by the county for minimum maintenance standards, exactly the things that you're talking about. And I want to aggressively pursue that. We're also pursuing additional development projects in Turner Station from the county. We're building a new community building that will be at the site of Sollers Point. And I really want to pursue some senior housing opportunities for Turner Station. So you have a lot of residents who are older, live there a long time. They can't maintain their houses anymore, but they want to stay in Turner's. And we've had great success with moderate income senior housing in the same neighborhood where the seniors presently live, so they can live independently, but also in the neighborhood and near their children. And then they kind of vacate their house to the next generation of families, either their children or someone else who will fix up that house and also enjoy it. So I look forward to working closely with Turner Station residents and working closely with your councilman, Council Chair John Oshefsky.
Thanks so much for the call, Kathy, and we're also staying on top of the Turner Station story. Caroline in Woodlawn, you're on the air.
Yes, I've heard the question asked regarding what's the difference between you and Bartenfelder, and I'm still on the line. I don't know yet. So if you can give me some specifics, not general, but specifics regarding the difference between you and the other candidate, for example, regarding education, health care, crime, and stuff to that nature, so I can really tell the difference between you and the other candidate and why I should vote for you.
Thank you. In terms of education, I've been endorsed by the Teachers Association. In terms of health and environment, I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club. In terms of crime, I'm a former prosecutor, and I've tried to use my knowledge as a prosecutor to help police and give them the tools they need to be more effective. We had a tragic murder at the Towson Town Mall 5 years ago. A teacher was killed in the top floor of the garage. There were no witnesses. And it was only by sheer luck that they caught the fellow, because someone saw a car speeding out of the garage and wrote down the tag number. But I decided we shouldn't rely upon sheer luck anymore, and I passed a law, the first of its kind in the country, that mandates video surveillance of the public parking areas. And in the 3 years we've had that law with the shopping center security cameras, violent crime has dropped 31%. The cameras, along with the work of the police and private security, and has been effective. And we do know that the video footage helped solve 3 homicides. I also grew up on Liberty Road. I have a good sensitivity as to the needs of the area, having represented Bikes of Liberty Road in Woodlawn for my first 8 years on the council. And, I don't need a GPS to find the neighborhoods. I know them, and there's not going to be any catch up for me. I also understand the changing nature of this county, and it's increasingly diverse, and it's important that we have a county that reflects the diversity of its population. I think the census is going to show that the county is 30% African American, and it's not just enough to have department heads who are African American, but you really need middle level managers in county government who reflect that diversity. We need a police department that is diverse, and a department that is firm but fair. So when I was a prosecutor in the city, I saw the beginnings of the breakdown between of distrust between the community and the police. And I don't want that to happen in Baltimore County. And part of that is to make sure that county government looks like us. And that means that there is confidence in that the decisions that are being made for the right reasons.
Karen, thanks for that call. 410-319-8888. Come back to the calls. You're here with Kevin Kamenetz, who is a candidate for Baltimore County Executive, has been on the council for 16 years, county council, that is, representing the 2nd District. And we did ask Joe Bartenfeld to join him for a debate on the air. He declined our offer, and Kevin Kamenetz did not. He accepted the offer, and he's here debating himself or talking with listeners.
Am I winning or losing?
Only the voters know. So join us, 410-319-8888. And you can join in on this conversation. We'll get back to your calls here as we talk with Kevin Kamenetz. I mean, when we look at the schools, what would you change about the schools? As county executive, you know, it's not like Baltimore City. You actually have a role in saying who's going to be the next superintendent, at least politically speaking. You don't have a vote, but you have a role.
You actually don't. It's a different system in Baltimore County. The superintendent is hired by the volunteer school board, whose members are appointed by the governor with no obligation consult with the local government before making those appointments. And the worst part is that the school board flow of information is restricted by the superintendent. So that school board only knows what information the superintendent gives to them. And there's no opportunity to challenge that information through independent sources. So I would like to see the school board have greater opportunities for diverse information and the flow of information. But I also want to make sure we have a close relationship between the superintendent and the county executive. And I say relationship because it's not about overall policy, but it's addressing issues as they may come up, and to have that free flow of information.
I'm curious how much you think development in Baltimore County should remain restricted to the ring around the city. There's the issues of development, where they should develop and how they develop, are really huge. You mentioned Turner Station. A lot of people are worried that all that land along the water of the Baltimore County that is part of Baltimore County will end up being for the very wealthy, like it is in Baltimore City, that people will be denied access, because right now it's, in many places, it's still a working class haven on the water. And there's a lot of people whose development lips are being licked to get at that land, move those folks out, and move the wealthier in. How do you deal with that?
Well, development of the waterfront is an opportunity for the county to expand its tax base so we don't have to raise taxes. And I think some gentrification of the area and diversity in the area is not a bad thing, but it has to be a balance. You have to protect that longtime resident's little slice of heaven. And that's really what it is to a lot of working, hardworking people. And everything is a balance, and I've always tried to maintain that posture with development. I've been honored by the Valley's Planning Council as their Land Preservationist of the Year, and I've adopted what I think are good environmental protection and land preservation laws. But I also understand that we need to maintain a healthy tax base in Baltimore County, so you need to maintain that balance.
Let's get another caller or two in here before we have to take a break at 410-319-8888. And Marianne, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Marianne.
Yeah, hi. Look, Councilman Kamenetz, I live in Randallstown. In fact, you've been my councilman now. I was in your district in Randallstown when you first got elected, and then I lived in your district in Pikesville when you changed districts. So, I'm very familiar with you, and I'm very familiar with your work, and I don't really have a lot of quarrels with you, but my question is your ads and the way they portray Mr. Bartenfelder's record. And I thought it was, I just called to make the remark that Councilman Bartenfelder served in the legislature, which is a plus. As a citizen and a constituent, I think it's a plus to have a county executive that actually served in the legislature, since you do have to go up to Annapolis and make your case for your piece of the budget. Am I right or wrong?
Well, Marianne, I think that a person's record is important because you can glean a lot of how they think based upon past action. So Joe Bartenfelder, while he was in the General Assembly, voted against creation of the Chesapeake Bay critical areas. He voted against pesticide regulation, even just putting signs up warning families that pesticides have been applied to lawns. He voted against that law. And he voted to limit oil spill liability at just $10 million, which is really an extremely low number if there was ever a spill in the bay, similar to what happened in the Gulf. So, those are facts, and I think that his record, it's a fair statement to bring up how he voted in the past.
Let me get another quick call in here. I know we're running close on time, but I do want to get as many of the voters of the county in before we have to take a break. And Cindy and Timonium, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I want to know, Mr. Kamenetz, why you're supported by the SEIU and the ILU. I understand you have their endorsement. And could you tell me why the unions like you and what it is that you want to do in terms of unions, protect them or keep them from being kicked out of? What's your approach to unions in the county?
Well, I will tell you, I have been endorsed by the Laborers International. I have been endorsed by SEIU, and both of those are what I would call
and the
kind
teachers,
of,
if I were.
And the teachers. Well, the teachers as well. But those two unions are kind of the union of the working class, so to speak. My opponent has been endorsed by the mainstream unions. My approach is that I want to help working class people, hardworking families, and come up with strategies that I think will bring jobs to people. And I think that's why the Laborers and SEIU were attracted to some of the ideas that I had in that regard.
Kevin, are we out of time? Are you shaking your head yes to me over there? They are saying we're out of time. So, Kevin Kamenetz, I appreciate you coming in. As I said earlier, we did invite both major contenders for this office in Baltimore County Executive, Joe Bartenfelder and Kevin Kamenetz, to join us here. Kevin accepted, and he is here. And we're happy that he took the opportunity to talk to the Baltimore County voters here on WEAA on the Mark Steiner Show. And, Kevin, see you after Election Day and see what happens.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I want to be a good county executive, and I understand a good county executive doesn't just govern from Towson but gets out into the communities and listens before taking action, and that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Kamenetz. And soon you'll hear another Kamenetz on the air. His brother Roger wrote another book. He'll be on too. Kevin, good to have you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back.